The good news is finally here. Friends, listen to me. This is serious business. What the world needs today is Jesus. The Bible says in John 3:16 that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life.
And hello, everyone, and welcome to our program, The Truth Will Set You Free, Bible Prophecy Edition. I'm Vic Batista, along with my co-host Nathan Jones with Lamb Lion Ministry. And we thank you for being part of today's program as we have been talking about that millennium life. And we hope that you can stay tuned to today's program as we're going to be looking at the animal kingdom, speaking about the Lion King. And of course, we encourage those of you that are following us to share this program with your friends and family so they can follow along with us as well. But before I continue, I'm going to welcome my co-host of the program, Nathan Jones. Nathan, it's great to have you on again.
Brother, it's good to be on. Did you just label this episode The Lion King?
The real Lion King, Nathan.
Oh, well, that's clever, man. You're two for two here. That's awesome.
Hey, as our last episode, for those that missed it, Nathan, we were talking about joy, right? And the joy in the millennium and the joy in the kingdom. And we just want to keep that joy going.
Absolutely. Well, you coined a term, millennial life. Man, I'm looking so forward to millennial life. Now we've got the Lion King as this thing. Ah, that's so funny. You're very creative, brother.
Well, praise the Lord for that, Nate. But Nathan, also, maybe someone is new to a program and they're always wondering, why is it that we have so much fun? And maybe they feel like they're missing out on it. How can they get a hold of our episodes and also more about our ministry?
Prophecy.org, or download our Lamb Lion app. It's on all the major platforms. There you'll find a wealth of information about Bible prophecy. That's what our ministry teaches. Lamb and Lion Ministries exists to proclaim the soon return of Christ. So you can check us out on christinprophecy.org or download the Lamb Lion app.
Thank you, Nathan, for sharing that. And again, grab hold of those amazing resources. And I think it will be a blessing so that you can join in the fun and the joy that we have here. So, Nathan, that's what it is. You and I have been talking about the millennium life, the millennium kingdom. You wrote a fantastic article that you were telling me about the millennium and opening more of the details of the millennium to individuals, because there's so much there, right, Nathan? But very few people know about it.
Yeah. Matter of fact, I loved it so much. My doctoral dissertation was on the millennial kingdom, particularly the Davidic kingdom, which spans, of course, the church age, the millennial kingdom, and then the eternal state. But a particular aspect of it is where Jesus Christ rules and reigns on this earth for 1,000 years. That's the millennial kingdom. That's a promise found throughout the entire Bible that one day Jesus Christ is going to come. He's going to end fallen, failed human government, and he's going to set up his kingdom, and he's going to rule and reign from Jerusalem. Like you said, one of the defining characteristics of that rule, we talked about a few weeks ago, justice. Last week, we talked about joy. But this week, we're going to focus on peace.
Oh, Nathan, that is fantastic. And that's why we love talking about the Millennium Kingdom, especially because it has so many aspects to it, and also the millennium life. And one of the things that you and I were touching on had to do with the animal life in the millennium. And that's why we title this program, The Lion King, The True Lion King, What Life is Going to Be Like. And Isaiah chapter 11, verses 6 and 9, and Isaiah 65, verse 25, speak volumes regarding that. Because Isaiah 11 says, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion, check this out, and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox. The nursing child shall play, notice, by the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountains. Nathan, today we won't even let our kids play with certain things. Can you imagine these type of animals?
Yeah. Well, you know, a lot of folks contact us here at Lamb and Lion Ministries and say, hey, you've got the name of your ministry wrong. It's not Lamb and Lion. The lamb will lie down with the lion. It's the wolf will lie down with the lion. And they point to the fact that that's obviously what this passage says in Isaiah 11. And that's very true. The Bible does say the wolf shall dwell with the lamb. But our ministry, Lamb and Lion Ministries, isn't a point to Isaiah 11, but it points to the fact that Jesus Christ came first to the earth as a suffering lamb to die for our sins, but that one day he's going to return as a conquering lion and set up his kingdom. So the name of our ministry, Lamb and Lion Ministries, has nothing to do here with Isaiah 11. Another thing I was curious about is the young lion and the fatling together. Do you have any idea, Vic, what a fatling is?
Not really, Nathan. That's a good version. That's why we try to use a different translation. But fill me in.
Well, I was wondering that while you were reading it. So I switched over to the New American Standard. Vic and I, of course, use the New King James Standard most of the time. It's translated as the fattened steer. So a fatling is a fattened steer. In other words, it's a lot of steak.
Whoa.
I was like, what is this fatling? It's a fattened steer. In other words, a cow will be with, or a calf will be with the lion, and they're not going to worry that the lion's going to eat them. So one of the things that God did is when mankind fell, he put enmity, in other words, conflict between mankind and the animal world. And after the flood, Noah and his family were allowed to eat animals. So even though we have pet dogs and cats and gerbils and things, there's still a wariness between the two. The dog might bite you, and the cat might scratch you, and they're worried that we're going to kill them. And out in nature, with the wild animals, it's even worse. But one of the aspects of the millennial kingdom is the peace that is represented in it. Matter of fact, last week we talked about how there was going to be no more war, no more war whatsoever. This is what the Lord said in Hosea 2:17-18, just to reiterate, bow and sword of battle I will shatter from the earth to make them lie down in safety. Now that war between humans is over, God's going to end the war between mankind and animal kind.
Nathan, what a beautiful picture that, I mean, here we have the animal vegan life, if you will. They're going to be vegetarians. They're going to, no more carnivore. And that's amazing when you think about it, because that's why I was saying today, you wouldn't even think about letting your child play with a lion or play with anything else. But in the millennium, it says they're going to be so tame that they're going to be eating grass. They're going to be vegetarians, not carnivores.
and I got a feel for a lion, you know, the mighty hunter. Is going to be eating grass like an ox? And that begs the question, well, if the animals aren't eating each other, does that mean humans will no longer be eating meat? Will we return? I mean, we'll get to this long lives, but we're going to return pretty much to a pre-flood state during the millennial kingdom. And mankind wasn't supposed to be eating animals during the flood era. So what does that mean then for us? Does that mean that we're not going to eat meat? I don't know, because if there's true peace between man and animals, now we do read about the sacrifices in the temple when we talked about the temple earlier. So clearly they are eating meat at that some aspect, but that's the debate. You know, some say, well, look at the verses where there's sacrifices. That's meant for temple food. So they're clearly eating meat. Other places, it's like, well, wait a minute. If there's true peace between animals and mankind, then we shouldn't be eating animals. So will we be all vegetarians during the millennial kingdom? Unfortunately, we just don't know at this stage.
Nathan, and that's a very good point, because when the Bible is silent, I think it's wise for us to stay silent. And I think sometimes people try to put too much in places that we just don't know. And sometimes it's okay to say, I'm not sure, I don't know, because the Bible doesn't say, right, Nate?
It doesn't. And so where the Bible's silent, we'll be silent too. I kind of hope there still be meat. I mean, I'm going to miss meat, but then we got to assume that whatever the Lord's got planned, we're going to probably have foods that they're going to bring back that have been extinct for long times, you know, plants that we've never thought of, amazing salads, fruits and vegetables, And that brings us to the next point that we want to make about this time of peace. There is so much peace between mankind and animal kind because the land is greatly bountiful. There's endless amount of food to be found in the millennial kingdom. So there's no starvation, no poverty, no homelessness. What are some good verses about the land being bountiful, Vic, that you can think of off the top of your head?
Well, Nathan, I like Amos chapter 9, verses 13 to 24. Behold, the day are coming, says the Lord, when the plowman shall overtake the reaper and the treader of the grapes, him who sows seed. The mountains shall drip with sweet wine, and all the hills shall flow with it. Amos 9, 13 through 14. What a beautiful passage.
Oh, yeah. That goes in such beautiful concert with Zechariah 8, 12. For the seed shall be prosperous, the vine shall give of its fruit, the ground shall give of her increase, and the heavens shall give their due. I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all these.
Nathan, what beautiful passage. I mean, just thinking about the abundance of food in comparison to the starvation that we find around the world today, the famine, as you and I were mentioning, the situation in Haiti right now, where 4 million plus people are going to enter into starvation because of the war and the chaos. The country kind of somewhat being ran by gangs, and what a sad picture we have today in comparison to what awaits us in the millennium. And that's the joy of the millennium. That's what we want to look forward to. But in the meantime, we do pray for the challenges that are going on in our world and the people that are suffering even right now. So Nate, I thought maybe we could pause for a minute and maybe pray for the people in Haiti. Would that be okay?
Yeah, please do.
Yeah, let's do that. Father, we are thankful for all the blessings that you've given to us and all the blessings that we continue to have. But yet we find nations that are ravaged and they're going through such challenges like the people in Haiti. So we want to pray for them, Lord God. We want to pray that in this crisis, they will find peace and they will find you, but that there will be provision for them, Lord. There's so many people in need right now. We pray for the churches, the ministries in Haiti as well. Likewise, that they will continue to be a beacon of light, even in these challenging times. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So Nathan, I just thought to pause for a minute because here we're talking about just the bounty and the wonderful things that people are going to enjoy in the time of the millennium. And that's why it is so important, right, Nathan, for people to have a relationship with the Lord, because much of this is promised to those that have put their trust in Christ. We will be in glorified bodies, of course, in the time of the millennium, but there will be millions and billions that are going to be living, that are going to be born in the millennium with natural bodies. But yet we see that the earth is going to produce so much for those during that time.
Oh, yes. Isaiah 4:2 says, in that day, the branch of the Lord, meaning Jesus, shall be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and appealing for those of Israel who have escaped. In other words, escaped the wrath of God of the tribulation. So it's a promise that the earth will be so bountiful that those who are harvesting the fruit will be passed by those who are planting the next crop. I mean, there'll be endless amount of food. And when you have no want in the way of food and shelter and clothing, in other words, the world is so productive, then you don't have a need for the fighting anymore. A lot of what we're seeing between these gangs in Haiti, right? They're resource wars. They're fighting for turf. They're fighting for political power. They're fighting for resources. And we see that all over the world. But when you have plenty, there's no reason to be fighting anymore because everybody has enough and they're well fed. And that's one of the aspects of this coming kingdom, that there'll be plenty of food, there'll be no need for war, and so people won't fight it, and the Lord won't tolerate it.
Oh, Nathan, I that is fantastic, and you're absolutely right. Today, we have to pour so much money into agriculture to be able to make food, because our population is so large right now upon the earth. And I'll be honest with you, Nathan, I think I like to eat. right? So I'm glad that that there's food production. But all of that labor, the money that goes into it now, what an amazing thing that in the time of the millennium, the earth is going to, because of what God is going to do, is going to replenish itself. And not only that, but also the water that is going to be flowing during that time, the rivers, Nathan. Zechariah chapter 14, verse 8 says, "And in that day it shall be that the living waters shall flow from Jerusalem, half of them towards the eastern sea, half of them towards the western sea. In both summers and winter it shall occur." And in our previous programs, you and I spoke about that, the Millennium Temple and also the rivers of life that will be flowing.
Yes, and add to Ezekiel 47, 8, 9, which is a description of what life will be like during the millennial kingdom. It says, "The waters flow towards the eastern region, goes down into the valley, and enters the sea. And when it reaches the sea, the waters are healed. And it shall be that every living thing that moves, wherever the rivers go, will live." Now, bear in mind that this is a prophecy about the Dead Sea. Now, you and I have been to the Dead Sea. It's where Sodom and Gomorrah used to be. When the Lord blasted it, he really blasted it. I mean, the whole land smells like sulfur. It's covered in salt. Nothing can live there because of the high salt content. And because the Dead Sea has no outlet, then all those years of minerals flowing into it have made it even saltier. And so much so that you can actually get in the Dead Sea. It's like touching olive oil. It's kind of slimy, you know, and you can float in the Dead Sea. But during the millennial kingdom, a river of life is going to flow from Jerusalem down into that sea, and it's going to be made living again. And there's verses that talk about how fishermen are going to cast their nets over its waters and pull up fish, and there's going to be, you know, greenery around it. And so the Lord takes dead things and brings them back to life. That's what the Lord always does. We got to remember that all this bounty that we're reading about, just a few years earlier during the tribulation time period, the Lord brings the earth to the brink of extinction. I mean, the whole earth is irradiated and hit by meteors and comets and poisoned, and everything's dead, and the seas are dead, and everything is just destroyed as the Lord punishes the evil in this world. But when he returns at his second coming, he takes that dead world and makes it fully alive again. And so it's a wonderful parallel how Jesus takes things that are dead and he makes them alive. And spiritually, that has application, that he can take us when we're dead in our sins and make us alive in him.
Oh, Nathan, what an amazing application. And I just think the beauty, that's the beauty in the millennium all around. And it's something that everyone should look forward to. We'll be in our glorified bodies. There will be millions or billions of people in their natural bodies. But Nathan, I enjoy kayaking a little bit. But can you imagine when the rivers of life flowing, those that will be able to kayak there? I think that's going to be amazing for those people living during that time in their natural bodies.
Oh, yeah. And you don't have to worry about the rapids either, because the Bible prophesies four major earthquakes during the tribulation. Two of them, one at the beginning and one at the end, are so powerful that the Bible prophesies that the mountains will be leveled and the islands will be removed from their place. And it's believed by many theologians that the topography of the millennial kingdom will be different. Like when you look at a map and you see the nations and the continents, they're going to be radically changed. And then Isaiah 40, verse 4 through 5 says, "Every valley shall be exalted and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight and the rough places smooth," leading theologians to believe that most of the earth will be flat, and a lot of the water will be spread out, not in oceans, but in lakes around the world. So if that's the case, brother, you're going to have some smooth sailing in your kayak.
Oh, isn't that awesome, Nathan? See, Nathan, people wonder, Vic, why did you move to Florida? Why have you been there so long? I'm just practicing for the plains of the earth, Nathan.
That's hilarious. Yes, well, you get your practicing because you're going to get a lot of kayaks.
See, the only thing in Florida, Nathan, that we miss is mountains. Definitely, if you're into mountains, don't come to Florida, okay? Yeah. And if you see mountains in Florida, they're not mountains. Those are landfills.
There you go. Yeah, my grandparents used to live in Newport Richey, and they joked that if you dug a little deep, you'd hit water and sink the whole peninsula. And I do love mountains. I do mourn the thought that there's not going to be a lot of mountains during the millennial kingdom. But the Bible says that Jerusalem will be, and we talked about this in another episode, lifted high and be exalted among the nations, and it will be the highest place on the earth. Not like Everest per se, but you know, high enough so you can breathe. But the mountains will be in Israel. And so I do believe there will be mountains to see, at least when we go up the Feast of Tabernacles and see the Lord every year. But it does appear from this verse and others that the earth will be flattened and the mountains won't be there anymore. And the earth will be mostly plains, lots of lakes, lots of rivers. It'd be like being in upstate New York or Minnesota, where there's lots of lakes, lots of rivers. And you'll find Vic Batista in his kayak trying out all the lakes and rivers.
Absolutely. Well, Nathan, listen, one amazing, also another amazing aspect of the millennium is the length of life, long life that we'll be able to enjoy. We will be in our natural bodies. We'll be going to Jerusalem. It's going to be high on the mountain. So we'll still have that mountain experience, Nathan, as we go to visit with the Lord and hear his teachings every year. But we'll have in our glorified bodies, we'll be able to explore the whole galaxies, the whole universe. And I'm sure in God's creation, Nathan, there's so much out there that we haven't even gotten a glimpse of what we'll be experiencing past the millennium and into the millennium.
Yeah, I mean, we remember that when we read in the Bible how before the flood, that people were living hundreds of years. Methuselah almost reached 1,000 years. And we sometimes think, wait, is that a mistranslation? You know, did they get their numbers wrong? But Isaiah 65, 20 through 23 says, no more shall an infant from there live but a few days, nor an old man who has not been fulfilled his days, for the child shall die, get this, 100 years old. But the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. For as the days of a tree, so shall be the days of my people. So here's this prophecy says that during this kingdom of Christ, this millennial kingdom, millennial life, as Vic calls it, will mean that you will live hundreds of years. Now, that's for those who have survived the tribulation, have accepted Jesus, they live in their earthly bodies into the millennial kingdom. They have children, but they'll live hundreds and hundreds of years. Now, for those who are evil, because there will be people born during the millennial kingdom, and they will have a choice whether to choose the Lord or not. And those who choose evil, well, the Lord doesn't let them live long. They make it to about 100, and that's it. So you'll know that the Lord weeds out the evil elements that keep popping up. We in our glorified bodies, because we're in our resurrected bodies, well, we won't be living hundreds of years. We'll be living trillions of years without an end. And so, but for these people in earthly bodies, long life is coming back to the earth.
Oh, Nathan, and what a beautiful thing that is. Today, we live a few more years because of healthcare and technology, and we're happy for that. But imagine the time when our health is just going to be, well, for us in our glorified bodies, we won't have to worry about that. But for the people living in the millennium, the enormous amount of time that they will be able to spend with one another, Nathan, you don't have to rush necessarily. Like today, we try to squeeze every minute that we can at a time in life. And that's the beauty of this amazing relationship with God, what awaits those that trust in the Lord. And that's why we want to encourage you. If you have not trusted in Christ, what are you waiting for? All these promises, all these blessings are offered to those that are in Christ Jesus. And we encourage you, again, if you happen to be part of this program, maybe you turned the dial or you were looking in the internet or social media and you came across this program and suddenly you realize, I want some of that. I don't have that in my life and I want to change my life. If that's you, we want to give you an opportunity to experience this joy that we have by starting that relationship with the Lord even right now. Nathan, again, I wanted to take the opportunity to maybe speak to that person out there who hasn't started a relationship with the Lord. Would you be able to walk them through that process and how they can start the relationship even right now from wherever they are?
Well, absolutely. Absolutely. I think it's amazing to think that someday the Lord is going to give us as humanity, the long lives. There's other verses that talk about no more disabilities, no more sicknesses. But that all comes from our sin nature. We are born dying. We are born in sin, and then eternal death awaits us. But the Lord wants us to have eternal life, and he provided it. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made him, Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. 1 John 3:5 reiterates the same thing, but you know that he, Jesus, appeared so that he might take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Well, how do we respond to that message? Acts 3:19 says, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Isn't that amazing that the Lord Jesus, the God's own son, came down to earth as a man, but lived a perfect and sinless life, and yet he was put to death in our place. He died on the cross, a horrible death for our sins, to take the punishment of our sins upon himself. And he faced death and died, but he resurrected himself from the dead 3 days later. And now he's up in heaven waiting for us throughout time to respond to his gift. And if you're ready to respond to his gift now, pray from your heart. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I've been in rebellion against you. I am so sorry. Please forgive me. I love you, and I want you to be the Lord and Savior of my life. And Jesus promises your sins will be forgiven. They'll be washed away. The guilt is gone, and you will become a citizen of the kingdom of Christ.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Nate, for sharing that. And if you pray that prayer for the first time, we want to rejoice with you and let you know there's a celebration in heaven for every person that repents and turns to the Lord. So we want to say congratulations. And by that, we mean also we want to give you a Bible and a Bible study guide so that you can continue to grow in your relationship with the Lord. You can simply reach out to us. You can call or text 305-992-9537. You can email us at wetminister@lamblion.com or check us out at christinprophecy.org. And again, we thank you for being part of the program, but also for making the decision to follow Christ while there is still time. Nathan, we rejoice in that. Isn't that amazing?
It is. It is. We have a glorious future awaiting us. And the peace that we have longed for, you know, this thing in Haiti, like you said, is tragic. Watching everybody murder each other and just leave the bodies in the streets. And Haiti has always been a mess because of its, you know, voodoo and satanic background. But, you know, this is a global issue because we got stuff like this happening all over the world. To know that that's not going to go on forever and ever, that we won't annihilate ourselves eventually, but a true peace is coming to this world. A peace between mankind and animal kind, and long lives, and no more infirmities or sicknesses or disability. The Lord is going to provide all that when he returns to set up his kingdom. So, brother, I'm looking forward to millennial life.
Oh, Nathan, you and me both. And thank you for sharing and giving someone out there an opportunity to also be part of that. And we're so excited for what God is doing in all your lives as well, as you continue to tune into our programs and grow in the knowledge of the Lord. But of course, our time has run out for this segment of our program. And Nathan Jones and Vic Batista, I want to thank you for being part of the program. And we pray that you have a wonderful day. Continue to grow in the Lord, and may he continue to bless you. God bless you.
The good news is finally here. Friends, listen to me. This is serious business. What the world needs today is Jesus. The Bible says in John 3:16 that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life.